Okay, everyone. Hello, 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 and welcome to
Love Talk Radio.
Okay, hello, everyone. This is Kay Thompson. We are on Blog Talk Radio here at Black Wax Studios in Black Wax Moving Images, the BW Moving Images Studio, 281st Street in Jersey City. We are between Newark and Jersey Avenues, and you know, this is the place to come to. This is the place to broadcast from. I'm Kay Thompson, and I have good news about Gus Henningberg. He is feeling a lot better, and I expect him to be here within a couple weeks. And it was really good seeing him last night, and he was his old self, and kidding, and all that kind of good stuff. And so we're going to be, bringing Gus back, and can't wait, and his voice is good, and he's getting stronger. And anyway, it's going to be good. Anyway, tonight we have a good show lined up for you. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in the world of jazz, and I love jazz. And, going to be interviewing Ricky G. Rick G is from, South Orange or East Orange, I forget which, I'll tell you when, as well as I know him, he's going to say, Kay, what is it, you know? Just tell me, just to let me be on and I'll be fine. But anyway, Rick G is a jazz columnist. He does a weekly jazz weekly jazz concerts, weekly jazz articles. He does festivals, jazz festivals and jazz concerts. And a lot of things that I'm not going to read, but I'm going to let him tell. Also, Rick G from Rick G's Jazz Jam, you know, plays flute. And then that's not the only thing he does, you know, because he was living in South Orange. He's also a fantastic swimmer. He'll tell you all about that. Graduated from Howard University. And he was in the world of finance and then moved to Florida and became the jazz aficionado. Is that correct? I wonder if it is. But he's also a jazz historian. So we're going to be talking to Rick G right now, getting him on the phone. Hello, Rick G. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
Okay, Kay. How you doing?
Good. Don't laugh because I stumbled a little bit on my open.
Did you stumble or trip? But I love you. You know that.
I know. Oh, how you doing down there? In what part of Florida again, by the way?
Paradise.
Paradise.
Yeah, that's what we call it. We call it paradise.
Listen,
well, no, I'm in St. Petersburg.
In St. Petersburg. All right.
Yeah,
I have to tell people this, you know. When Rick
beautiful downtown St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh. And you love every minute of it, don't you?
I certainly do. For the 9 years I've been here, I'm just overjoyed. Lots of friends I've made, and it's wonderful. Having a great time.
Yeah, that's good. You become quite a jazz person. In fact, the person to see about concerts and about information. You've become a jazz historian. But, Rick, before we get, you know, I have a bone to pick with you. You want to know what it's all about? Remember when you first got down there and you called me and you said, I'm sitting on my deck.
Oh,
looking
right.
At the water, watching the dolphins. I was so mad.
Right, correct. Yeah, that was true.
Jersey.
That's before I bought a home.
Uh-huh, okay.
Yeah, and I was living in an apartment, and I was right on the water.
Uh-huh.
And it was fantastic. I was more excited than you, let me tell you. It was something brand new to me.
But isn't it great to do something that, you know, you've reinvent yourself, and now you're doing something that's different in a way, but not different, because you've always been, you know, a lover of jazz, right?
Yeah, that's true, but you mentioned something there about reinventing yourself.
Uh-huh.
I first heard that from a friend of mine here in St. Petersburg.
Uh-huh.
This was about 8 years ago when I was just really getting the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to her, I said, you know, I'm doing so many different things that I didn't do back in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And I said, I never thought I would be doing this. And she said, you know, Rick, you've reinvented yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, that's exactly right. I certainly have. I reinvented myself.
Yeah. You know, and that's important. That's what Gus and I did.
Right. But you've always been in radio. Radio television.
But, you know, we reinvented ourselves by going on Blog Talk Radio. You know,
That's something really neat. I was telling a friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Yvonne Alsop, and most people who are listening that are friends of mine. In fact, I wanted to tell you that I had several friends who sent me emails saying that they would be listening tonight, so I'm hoping that they are. Hi out there. Hi, my buddies.
Well, do you want to mention any names or what? This is your big
I have a list here. I'm happy that you asked. Yeah. Should I go alphabetical order or just go right down the line?
Yeah. Okay. Any way you want.
Okay. You know, let me first mention a gentleman who I want to say hello to, and that's Carlito, Charles Richardson, and his wife, Dorothy. Carlito, I met him about a year after I'd gotten here, and he and I both were trying to find our niche, you know. And we thought so much alike that I guess we became friends just about immediately.
Uh-huh.
And he's one of my closest friends. You know, when someone says, "Hey, I got your back," this guy really means it. And he's into music also, fantastic musician. And I'm looking at I'm thinking about Andrew Maldonado, one of my brothers. He has a group called Latin Roots.
Wow.
And he has a big band with vocalists Celestial Orchestra. My cousin Robin Gwaltney Harris, who's originally from East Orange, she said she'd be listening. She lives in Clearwater.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with Clearwater, and she works for the city of Clearwater.
Uh-huh.
And then go ahead.
One of my students is down there in Clearwater. As a matter of fact, she has their studio down there.
Oh, really?
Yep. Her name is Jackie Kuntz. I forget her married name, but we'll see her sometime soon too. But get on with your jazz here. You want to talk?
Yeah. No. Okay, I'll get back to the names because I have a couple.
You can continue with the names. Who else?
I have two. One of my buddies over in the Swiss Alps, Remy Nicaro.
Alps right now?
Yeah. He said he'd be listening.
Terrific.
And Bernadette and Dennis Verdun, they're in France.
Uh-huh.
Bernadette, she was a secretary in the office that I worked in when I was in a small town called Bar-le-Duc. You know, I was in France for 2 years.
I know. Yeah.
And that was another fantastic adventure. You know, hopping over to Paris and listening to the jazz cats.
Really quick,
I want to say hello to Celeste Davis.
Uh-huh.
Lonnie and Nasa. Lonnie has a group called Hands in Motion. Maxine Goodheim. She's on the board of directors with me with the Jazz Club of Sarasota. Kat Hefner, fantastic jazz vocalist. She's doing things with her brother Stan Hefner. He plays Hammond B3 organ.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my pastor, Dr. Emmanuel Sykes with Bethel Community Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
Yes, Kay, I attend church every Sunday.
No.
I was thinking that you might say, "Well, Rick, are you going to church now?"
Yeah, what you want to say is, "Yes, I do too." You know?
Right, well, good. God bless you.
You know, my cousin is having to have a fit, you know, Jethro James, I won't even say, Paradise Baptist Church. And but I have not been in a while, but I promise you I will go. You know, my mother would be having a fit. She's probably looking down from heaven right now and saying, "You didn't do what?" You know.
Right.
But anyway, Rick, I'm so glad to have you on. Are you finished with all your friends in the world?
No, they're not all my friends in the world. Okay, let me just run through Shirley Lynn, who has Small Ship Cruises. She sent me an email with tips how I should present myself this evening. All the members
normal
of the board
and natural,
of the,
you know.
Say that again.
Just be normal and natural. Have fun, you know.
Oh, I'm definitely having fun.
Okay.
Oh, I'm kicking it. Oh, all definitely. All the members of the board of directors for the Jazz Club of Sarasota.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Also, the members of the Al Downing Tampa Bay Jazz Association. Betty Gregg, she's the president. I'll see her tomorrow because Celeste Davis. If you know that this month is Jazz Appreciation Month, right?
Yeah, so I heard. Yeah.
Yeah, and Celeste is doing put together a program at the Dr. Carter G. Woodson African American History Museum.
And where is that?
Here in St. Petersburg.
Wow.
And what she calls it, a jazz chat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a series of discussions every Thursday during the month of April. And it's centered around the excerpts from the video Jazz by Ken Burns. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the videos.
No, I haven't.
But it's fantastic. It's 10 episodes. It's 10 DVDs. And Dwayne White, he's a trumpeter and a music educator here in Tampa and St. Pete.
Do you have these videos on your site?
No. Ken Burns has, he's the one that put together the videos. And what we're doing, the four Thursdays in the month of April, on April 5th, Dwayne White, who's a trumpeter and music educator, he was the host for the first meeting. And then last week, I was the host, and I did a thing on Duke Ellington and Louis Armstrong.
When you say you did a thing, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, I did a sort of a lecture on Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington, and I covered the periods from 1910 up to 1910 to 1930. I covered the Great Depression, the Great Migration, when Louis Armstrong and King Oliver and Freddie Keppard and those cats were playing, I talked about them and gave my viewpoints on some of the things that they were doing back in the day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tomorrow night, April 19th, Kenny Walker, he's a local bass player here.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be the host. And then on April 26th, Eric Deggans, he's a columnist with the Tampa Bay Times. He's going to be the host.
Is that newspaper that you're also writing a column for or what?
I write a jazz column for the Weekly Challenger. That's a weekly newspaper here in St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And I've been doing that for the last 9 years.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I was lucky in getting that job. It's funny how I got it. Would you like to hear how I got the job?
Yes, I would like to hear how I got the job.
Well, when I joined the board of directors for the Jazz Club of Sarasota, they sent out a press release, and it went to the Weekly Challenger.
Uh-huh.
And it was a very nice piece. I think it took up about a half a page. So I got the paper, and it blew my mind. And I said, well, hey, I better send some of these copies up to New Jersey.
Yeah.
And let them know what I'm doing. So I went over to – excuse me?
You didn't send me a copy.
I didn't?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to make up for that.
Yes,
I'll definitely make up for that. I'll send you a copy. I'll send you two copies. How's that?
You better.
Right, but anyway, I went over to the office here in St. Pete, and I wanted to get extra copies of the newspaper. And they, while I was talking to the office manager, I said, "Hey, your paper doesn't have a jazz column. You should have one." So I said, "How about my writing a jazz column for you?" So she says, well, you better talk to the general manager.
Uh-huh.
And just at that time, the general manager was walking by, and she turned around and said, "What did you say?" I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I said I was speaking about a jazz column for your newspaper." And she said, "Well, you write?" I said, "Yes." Yeah. She said, "Well, why don't you give me some copies of some of your writings and come over next week and we'll have a chat," which I did, and she gave me the job.
Wow,
and
terrific.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I know that you know a lot of the history. For instance,
mm-hmm.
I got a chance to interview Miles Davis, some years ago. And
fantastic.
He paid absolutely no attention to me. Now,
right.
that did for my ego, right?
Well, that's Miles.
Used to have
right.
people pay attention.
Yeah.
But I was telling my brother I was going to be talking to you, And tonight, Buddy said, to tell you hello, and he was telling me, don't forget some other people like Miles, like Hank Mobley, and he mentioned a few other people. But, he was rude, but I understand that's the way, Miles was. He would turn his back to you, and, doing the interview, and all of a sudden, he wasn't there,
Yeah, Miles was different, and that's what made Miles. That's why a lot of people liked Miles, and a lot of people hated Miles, but Miles was the man. I was always I met Miles down in Washington, D.C. Uh-huh. I lived over a nightclub for a while right after I graduated from Howard University.
Uh-huh.
And, in fact, for 2 years I lived over the nightclub, and I was able to meet a lot of jazz musicians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I don't know whether I ever shared this with you when I was in New Jersey. I lived on Huntington Street in New Jersey, right off of West Market.
I didn't know
and,
that.
Really? Yeah. Between, let's see, I was between Cabinet Street and West Market.
Uh-huh.
And I lived at number 24 in Bobby Darden. I don't know whether you know Styx Darden.
Yeah, yeah. I remember the name.
Yeah, he plays drums.
Uh-huh.
Well, Styx lived next door to me, and my mom used to have Styx babysit me.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh God.
And yeah. Well, Styx is living in Plainfield now, and we talk every week, and I get on his case because Styx played the drums, his brother played alto,
uh-huh.
and he had when he was like 11 and 12, he was playing drums for the Newark Elks.
Uh-huh.
And but on the side they were playing like jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Hank Mobley.
Oh yeah.
Used to come by.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the other drummer that used to come by that lived in East Orange.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name right off. But anyway, lots of musicians used to come next door, and they used to have jam sessions.
Similar
and,
to what
in practice. Excuse me.
Similar to the jazz sessions that you had in South Orange?
No, my jazz session, my jam sessions in South Orange, which was much more elaborate.
Mm-hmm.
These were just guys who, you know, like anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 guys in a house playing jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing was my jam session would start at 3 p.m.
Uh-huh.
and last until 5 a.m. the next morning. Yeah. And I would have as many
and
as 200
music.
People.
Good music.
Oh, yeah. All the musicians after work, they would come to my house. I've had cats like Little Jimmy Scott come
wow.
in. Yeah. And in fact, I was at the dentist out there in North Jersey, in Englewood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Milt Jackson lived.
Mm-hmm.
Milt Jackson, the vibraphone player?
I remember.
You remember? Okay. And the dental assistant says, "Oh, Rick, I was coming out to your jam session, but it was raining so, and guess who wanted to come?" I said, "Who?" She said, "Milt Jackson. He was wondering whether or not you would mind if he came without an invitation." You know, and I said, "Mine." Yeah, you know, it was one of those things. But I had all sorts of cats, man, come in from New York. As far south, let's see, from Virginia right on up, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Connecticut, New York, Massachusetts, all over. Guys used to come in.
Wait a minute, Rick. How does a man from Howard University,
mm-hmm.
master swimmer, all kinds of awards in swimming, all kinds of work, finance person, you know, really entrepreneur.
That's true.
How do you
those things are true.
Are you a musician? Are you a musician, sir?
Well, I play at the flute.
I've seen the music videos now. Come on.
You know, well, most times when
right.
I play,
right.
my buddies who are playing with me, or you know, in the or either sitting in or maybe they might be the rhythm section for the evening. They usually tell me, "Rick, why don't you come out more often? You know, come on." Yeah. But I'm usually home trying to put together some jobs for them.
Yeah.
You know,
concert and
one friend told me, he says, "You know, Rick, maybe it's best that you keep doing what you're doing, because we need guys like you that give us the job, the work, and then we need guys like me, you know, like him, who are the musicians to play." So one hand washes the other, and they both wash the face. You know, that's what I always say. But I do play, and the musicians, they're always they always allow me to make my mistakes, and they said that's how you learn. So
yeah,
that was it.
Look at some of these people. I want to throw some names at you, and, you know, I want you to give us a little bit of a very short, you know, something interesting about maybe a couple of them. I'm thinking
Is this an exam?
Yes. I didn't know. You better get an A, too. It's over.
Well,
but Louis Armstrong and Jelly Roll Morton, you know? You know,
Well, you know, the one thing that I remember about Jelly Roll Morton is that he made himself the inventor of jazz, you know, which was really wasn't true. He was one of the early musicians that played jazz, but he did not create jazz. He was not the creator of jazz. You know, of course, he came up out of New Orleans also, but jazz was started. Birth of jazz was in New Orleans, but not only New Orleans, not only in what they call Storyville. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with Storyville.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Storyville, the red light district in New Orleans, and that's where Louis Armstrong was raised. He came up in Storyville. Oh, in fact, when Louis Armstrong was coming up as a kid, they called the area of his town the battleground. That's how tough it was. It was
wow.
There were shootings, cuttings, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Jelly Roll Morton, he was sick. He was a pool shark. He was part-time pimp. Played beautiful piano, and like I said, he used to tell people that he created jazz, but that wasn't true. Yeah.
What about Duke Ellington and Coleman Hawkins, John?
Well, Duke Ellington, of course, Duke Ellington is a Washington, D.C. Native. In fact, he lived on T Street, area where I used to frequent. I better be careful because T Street has a reputation now. Well, when I was in school, as being
T Street is in Washington?
Washington, D.C., yeah.
Okay.
But I used to, when I said frequent T Street, I didn't. I think I used the wrong words. I used to pass by the area where he lived because it became sort of like a red light district, 7th and T.
Just let me tell people, Rick, for a minute. I am talking to Rick G, who is the head of Rick G's Jazz Jam, and he is in calling us from what part of Florida?
St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg, and if you want to get in touch with Rick G, all you have to do is go to his website, and what is it again? We have a caller, but what is it again?
www.rickgs, with an S, not an apostrophe S, but Rick G's Jazz, G-E-E-S, Jazz Jam, and jam is with two M's, .com. Rick G's Jazz Jam. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just repeating after you to make sure everybody gets it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, www.rickgsjazzjam.com, and jam is with two M's, and the S on G's does not have an apostrophe.
I see. Boy, out of all the different forms of jazz, which do you prefer? Do you prefer Dixieland? Do you prefer the blues? Do you prefer Brazilian jazz? What? Tell me.
Well, you know, I like bebop. I like hard bop. But I'm beginning to like I guess you could call it Dixieland or the jazz that Louis Armstrong and those cats used to play back in the day, you know, in the 30s, in the 20s, in the 30s.
Yeah.
Mainly because that's the period of time that I'm in the process of studying. That time now. In fact, before I called you this evening, I was looking at some stuff on Count Basie and Coleman Hawkins and who they used to call the Hawk, what's the vocalist the folks out there that know jazz, I just can't. The last name, everybody knows Billie Holiday.
Oh,
Billie Holiday. That's who I was thinking about. Right, Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald. I was watching Ken Burns' DVD segment on that particular history. Yeah.
Well, you know, one thing I was listening the other day to some footage of Sarah Vaughan. You know, Sarah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sarah had brought her daughter to our dancing school, and their name was Debbie Vaughan.
Oh.
And Debbie changed her name, or either her middle name was Paris, but she's now Paris Vaughan. And, you know, I saw her when the New Jersey Performing Arts Center was naming the area in front of the New Jersey Performing Arts Center Sarah Vaughan's Way. And to be listening to some of her music, and I heard her do Misty. And
oh,
I went out over the top. I said, listen to this. Good Lord. And I know it because Ania is listening it because she is a jazz aficionado, I'm telling you. So I'm gonna,
Well, you know, Sarah's birthday was last month.
Was it really?
In March. Sarah's birthday was last month.
We have to line, Rick, and we're going to be opening up the phones because we're going to be joined by Junius Williams. And Junius also is a, you know, has
harmonica player, played the blues. I've heard him play before I left for New Jersey.
He's fantastic. He's also an attorney.
Right. I know. Probably doesn't remember me.
Well, let's see. Are you there? Hello.
Hi. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Rick?
How have you been, man?
I'm fine. Listen to you.
Good to hear your voice.
It's good to hear yours, too. I was listening to what you were saying about Washington because, of course, my mother's quite a bit older than you are, but she would have been. She's dead now. But she used to be one of those Washington, D.C. music aficionados, too. She never went to class at Howard on Monday because that's when the bands played at the Howard Theater. The bands changed. Mondays.
Right.
At the Howard Theater. She would always make sure she had a free day because you never know what you might see.
Did you I heard yesterday from some I forget who it was, but they were telling me that they are going to there's a group of guys who have gotten together to refurnish the Howard Theater. They're going to open that up again.
That's great. I know the little down there. There's been quite a bit of gentrification down there. So I don't know if it's going to maintain that same flavor that you and I and Kay would like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No,
yeah.
No. No. I remember.
Hello.
Are you still, you're still playing, aren't you, Junius?
Well, every now and then. We had a gig at the, I hate to say gig at the church, but that's what it was. We had a a performance at Bethany Baptist Church on January 31st. My group returned to the source.
I rehearsed that.
It was really good to be back with the folks again.
Right.
Singing and playing.
Well, you're probably like me. I don't play that often. You know, every once in a while I'll get out, especially when I'm promoting a group. The audience, my audience usually likes to hear me get up and play a tune. I'll play one or two tunes, you know. Something that I've rehearsed for the last couple of months. You know? In fact, I've got a concert coming up with Phil Provenzano. He's going to be doing some West Coast stuff with his group. His group is called Jazz Experience, but Experience is with an X, because with an X.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to do. He's going to let me sit in, and then I've got a jazz cruise that I'm doing for the Jazz Club of Sarasota on May 6th, the first Sunday in May. I've got a cat by the name of John DiPaola, and he plays trumpet and flugelhorn. And he'll have Nalicio Tavares, who plays alto sax and vocals. And I've already emailed him the two tunes that I want to play. he's giving me the thumbs up on that. And let me say this, Junior, if anytime you're coming down this way, please give me a call. Let me know, man. I have a two-bedroom crib here, two baths, two bedrooms, and
right.
You're welcome to hang with me, man.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm going to take you up on that, maybe.
Hey,
We tried.
Hey, time out. Did you guys forget about me?
I'm sorry.
Where is my invitation, Rick?
We'll be back in a minute.
It's such a convivial hostess to allow us to do this.
Right, right. Isn't it nice, man? Hey, thank you, Kay. If I haven't thanked you,
thank you so much. I don't need thanks.
Thank you very much, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
But can I say this, Kay, before you change the subject?
Yeah.
We always wanted to get in on the cruise business.
Yeah.
So if you know about that, I'm interested in talking to you. That's
go.
All I want to say.
Well, let me just say this, because I don't want you to expect anything big. I've been doing this particular thing. When I say cruise, that's what we call it. We named it a cruise. I started doing it for a club. Yeah, it is. I started doing this my first year with the Jazz Club of Sarasota, which was 8 or 9 years ago. And it started on one of those paddle boats, like a steamboat. And it held like three.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It held about 350 people,
mm-hmm.
and we would sail out for 4 hours. And I would hire two bands, and it was out of sight. I mean, one band would be on upstairs. I usually had the straight ahead jazz band upstairs, and then I had like a dance band downstairs, which was enclosed and air conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened after several years of doing that? The captain had a heart attack and unfortunately passed away, and the owner of the boat sold the boat. I looked around trying to find another boat to substitute for the boat that we used, and the boat that I use now, the capacity is 120. So needless to say, each year it's a sellout, because whereas I was selling 350 tickets, now I'm limited to 120.
Mm-hmm.
So we go out for 2 hours now. We leave at 3 and come back at 5. 4 hours was just a little too much, because I can only hire, the boat is only large enough to have one band.
Mm.
And 4 hours was just a little too long, and we don't serve any food on the boat. There's a cash bar, and they sell potato chips and pretzels and stuff like that. But it's hip. It leaves at 3, which is after lunchtime. So everyone should not be hungry. And then it comes back at 5, and that's before dinner time. So, you can get your dinner after you get off the boat. A lot of folks team up, and they meet new friends and stuff, and they go out to a restaurant down in Sarasota, which is a nice place. They have some really nice restaurants down that way. So it's not one of those cruise lines where they go out for a week or so, you know. So I didn't want to mislead you on that.
Well,
Let me just tell
people who we're talking to. I'm talking to Rick G from Rick G's Jazz Jam down there in what part of Florida, Rick?
St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg, Florida. We want to say that over
right.
and over again. So, you know, you want to go to his website. Give your website out again real fast.
Yeah. Rick G's Jazz Jam. Jam with 2 M and G with an S on it, but no apostrophe. So it's www.RickG'sJazzJam.com.
Okay, and also we're talking to Junius Williams, who is an attorney. As a matter of fact, he was a former president of the National Bar Association. Really,
yes.
Junius? They let you do that?
Pardon?
I said,
didn't eat.
They let you do that?
Oh, yes. They wanted me.
You did.
It's nice to be wanted sometimes, Kate.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding, but you presented a paper on the Rhodesian Constitution to the Organization of Africa's Unity at the United Nations, and the paper was then adopted by the United Nations as its official position on the matter of political freedom for Africans in Zimbabwe. And you played jazz harmonica.
That was one of my greatest experiences, being at the United Nations surrounded by... all of those people and all of that history. So, yes, after that, I probably went out and played some blues at some club.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice.
I have news for both of you. I have always wanted to be on the radio doing a jazz show, just in case WPGO is listening. And Cephas, listen up, kid. Anyway, and I thought I could lower my voice to speak in that, you know, that FM sound. You know,
yeah, right.
You like that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
But anyway.
That's good.
No, but I love listening to jazz, and, you know, just love it. But I think it's really a coup for me to have you two on. Here, Rick is down there in Florida. And you, Junius, can we say where you are? You in Jersey?
Yes, I'm in Newark.
Oh, okay, okay. So really, and what's going on with your group now? What is it? I know you wrote and produced a celebration of the sights and sounds of the civil rights movement, which was absolutely fantastic years ago, right?
I did that, and we have done that in about 300 schools,
wow.
One aspect or another of that in around New Jersey, mm-hmm. and up and down the East Coast at colleges. That's one of the most appreciated shows that we have.
Yeah.
Because the music of the civil rights movement is the music of the black experience.
Yes.
Mostly based on spirituals, but also gospel, a couple of rhythm blues numbers, or maybe even a jazz tune or so.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that's very relevant in terms of knowing American history, not just black American history, but American history.
As a matter of fact, I like what you were saying in your bio about using African-American music to teach language, arts, and American history, you know, in the school systems. I've done the
Absolutely.
Same with broadcasting, you know, and teaching the teachers how to teach the students to produce television and radio programming with an emphasis on African-American history. So
mm-hmm.
I think you are really making history. I mean, you give people a lot of, you know, motivation to not just say, well, I've done one thing, so I'm going to hang it up. Not so. I mean, you're playing jazz flute, Rick. I really have to get down there and hear this. Because
I
was at my sister's apartment and the music would be coming across the way. You know, I said, geez, this is some good stuff.
Then sounds good to me.
And I could never figure out the jazz harmonica, but I am telling you, Junius, I mean, you made it. Music, I mean, real serious music. You know?
Well, when you play jazz on a harmonica, it's two different harmonicas. Most people don't understand that there are two different harmonicas. One is called a blues harp, which is based on the diatonic scale. Let me take you to school here for a moment, audience.
Okay.
The other one is a chromatic harmonica, which is like a little piano.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the sharps and the flats. And that's what you need when you play jazz.
Right.
Some people, there are some professional blues harpist who can play the diatonic scale and play jazz. I never learned that.
Wow.
I like the harmonica that, for example, Toots Tillman is the premier jazz harmonica player. There are some others too, Hendrick Merkins and other people. And on the R&B side, Stevie Wonder is the great chromatic harp player.
Mm.
So that's the most difficult one, and that's the one you have to stay on top of, and I'm just, my chops are down on that right now. I can still pick up the blues harp and hang in there with like we used to say, hang in there like Yagi.
Now, let me ask you a question, Junior. Which flute is it, not flute, which harmonica is it with the, like, things you push on the end of it?
That's the chromatic harmonica.
Okay, all right. That's
called a slide. That delivers your sharps and your flat.
Right. Okay.
And the other aspect about a harmonica that a lot of people don't know is that when you blow on the instrument, you get one set of notes, and then when you suck on the instrument, you get another set of notes.
Uh-huh.
So with the chromatic harmonica, with that slide, you can get notes. You get four different notes each time you put your mouth on a particular hole on the harmonica.
Right.
Oh. Now, is there a similarity to the flute, the way you hold the flute and blow into it?
Is there a what?
As compared to, I'm not saying blow. I mean whistle, whatever you do, you know.
Yeah, you blow it.
Blow into the arm for sure. Yeah.
Right. But
people are going to be talking about it, but that's what you're doing. You're blowing in it.
Okay, but then with the harmonica, I mean, that sounds like it's a similar kind of something or other, you know, because
flute is different because the opening is larger, and with the flute, you put your lips across the opening, across
right.
the mouthpiece.
Actually, not much air goes into the flute. It goes across the embouchure, across that opening, and that's what makes the sound, you know. And you've got to hold your mouth your lips a particular way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took me a month before I could get a sound out of it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Rick, I've seen some of the music videos, you know, with the guys, you know, playing the, and it really, they looked like they were improvising as they were playing the flute. To me, it was absolutely fascinating. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my first flautist, who I gave a, when I was in the service, I happened to be in Barcelona, Spain, and they asked me to be on the radio there to talk about Yusef Lateef. To give a my thoughts on one of his tunes, Gibouk, Gbouk, and I loved Yusef Lateef. I still do. I just think his flute playing is just out of sight. And but then I've gone on. In fact, I want to say something about a young man who I met here in St. Petersburg. I met him when he was about 16. And I think he's the I know he's the best flautist that I have ever met in person. Mm-hmm. His name is Jose Valentino Ruiz. Mm-hmm. He's now in his early 20s, and this kid can play up a storm. I mean, he is fan. He does things with a flute that makes me want to throw my flute out the window.
Yeah,
I mean, this guy is really terrific. And I've met some fantastic, fantastic musicians down here. And by the way, Junius, you know Radam Schwartz, right?
Yes, I do.
Radam's a very good friend of mine. I've had him down in Sarasota playing with him. He brought his group down here, Pat Tandy, and Tommy Grice.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Right. But
as a matter of fact, one of his singers sings with me, Jackie Jones.
Oh, Jackie Jones, yeah, okay.
Jackie's part of Return to the Source.
Right, these are all folks who used to come to my jam sessions up in South Orange. Mm-hmm. And Unfortunately, you never came. I didn't have your address or something, because I'm surprised you didn't hear about the jam sessions I used to hold. I know people from the WBGO used to come. But
I wish I had known. I'd have been there.
Really out of sight. But in fact, I used to do things down at Howard's Homecoming. I used to have a soul food buffet jazz dinner, and I'd have breakfast on Saturday morning before the game, and then the folks would go to the game, and then at 8 o'clock that evening I would have a live jazz group, and this was at the Howard Theater, not the Howard Theater, the Howard Inn.
Right.
You're probably familiar with that. You
know, I know where that is.
Right. When they tore it down, I was so sorry. That's when I stopped doing things down there. And that's how I actually got started. After that, I started doing the jam sessions in South Orange. And I remember one evening, I had about 200 people in my home. And believe it. And the house only held maybe 50 at the most. And
I wasn't going to say anything.
Because your sister lived across the courtyard from it.
That's right.
But fortunately, we had the finished basements and stuff. But one guy said, you know, Rick, if you can put something like this together, you should be in the business. Mm. And that's when I decided. I was at that time, I was getting ready to retire from Ciba Geigy. Mm. And I said, I just might do that. And I did form my company, Rick G's Jazz Jam, there in New Jersey. And my first concert there was up in
West Orange.
At the JCC in West Orange.
Yeah.
And I had, and I know you know him quite well, Junius, Andy Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Bay, of course.
Yeah. Andy Bay.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was there for that.
Oh, were you there? Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. And Andy, I knew Andy at age 6 because his sister, Salome, who we used to call Salome back then, but it was Salome now.
Right.
She was in my class at Robert Treat. That's before they changed the name of Robert Treat Grammar School, junior high school. Mm-hmm. And she brought Andy over at age 6. He was participating in a little class musical we were having, you know. And we maintained our friendship. And when I was trying to decide who I was going to get to play in my first concert, and I chose him, and along with Radom played. He was on the bill, and also I had a couple other people that came and played. In fact, I'm trying to. It's a shame getting to be my age. I can't. My memory isn't as good as it used to be, and he would kill me for me not being able to remember his name right now. But
we'll
he knows I love him.
You'll remember then, you know. We'll do this again.
Right.
We'll hear all the
stuff. In fact, I do. And let me mention his name, Valery Pomerov. Mm. He's a Russian trumpet player.
Yeah, quite good.
Yeah, very good.
I have something that I want to ask both of you because of the fact that I do like jazz, and I'm really, really hung up on Brazilian jazz. For instance, mm-hmm. I like people like Mongo Santa Maria, you know, drummer, and Jean Lucien and Tito Puente and, Carlos Antonio Jobim.
Oh, yeah.
I just listen to music, you know, with Gingy, well, Jean Lucien with Gingy, Carlos Antonio with Oh, God, I forget the name of it. That girl from Ipanema and all that kind of stuff. Really wonderful.
In fact, one of the tunes,
Michael Thompson is a DJ, you know, in New York and used to play at a whole lot of the clubs. As a matter of fact, he had probably the largest collection of anybody outside of a huge store that I have ever seen, you know, of different.
You know, that's a relative of yours, isn't it?
Yeah, right, my cousin.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think. If there's any genre that I buy more of than anything else, it's Brazilian jazz in the last 10
years. Yeah. Remember Willie Bobo?
Just Brazilian music, period. I just love all of the African aspect of it and how, you know, you compare it with what happens here in the United States. Mm. And you just marvel at what those Africans were able to do depending upon other influences that they came into.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the rich Indian influence down there, the Native American influence down there in Brazil that was different than here in the United States, and the European emphasis was different too. You had, and it was a softer environment, so you got a softer sound than here in the United States. It was probably slavery, but they were allowed to do more things with their music, and they had a greater big opportunity to escape and develop the music in a different way than we did here.
Yeah.
So you follow the music, you follow the people. It's just people don't know it, but they're missing a whole lot when they don't listen to Brazil.
Do you remember? Right. Do you remember Orfeo Negro? Remember that?
The movie? Oh, yeah. That was Joe Beam's music there. Wonderful music.
As a matter of fact, the person.
Was that Black Orpheus on there?
Black Orpheus. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And the person who played the lead, her name was Marpessa Dawn.
Right.
And not from Brazil. Okay. No, she was from, when I met her, she was from Philadelphia. In fact, she had come to my house for, you know, a gathering we had at one time. And she had gotten that role, and then I think it was also shifted to somebody else. But I often wonder, whatever happened to Marpessa?
She died.
Did she really? No
kidding.
Yeah. She's been dead now, I think, for about 10 years.
Wow.
I don't know what happened to her. And the man that played Orpheus is also dead. He was a big star down there in Brazil.
In Brazil, right.
I remember seeing that when I was in college. I went down to the little theater in a little chilly town called Amherst, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And I went back to see that thing more than once.
I wonder why.
It was... It was a dawning of a new revelation.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
There's probably a little samba in there somewhere, but, you know, oba oba.
Oh, yeah. Samba.
More, right. Yeah, okay. Listen, you guys, this is really tremendous. I think we're getting a lot out of this and, you know, hearing about things that maybe some of us have only one. What about, have you ever heard about Mongo Santa Maria?
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or El Grupo Grande. The lead singer was Poulet. Remember the Palladium? Remember Corso?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Palladium? That was some place we used to go to every Sunday. Every Sunday night, we used to take a bus over there.
We
Shorty
did
Thomas.
Up, you know, going over there. You know, he's a big...
I don't know if you remember Shorty Thomas. You remember Short from Orange?
Mm-hmm.
But a group of us, I guess it was about 20 of us, used to catch the bus over there every Sunday. And mambo and cha-cha, merengue, it was something else.
Yeah, you teach it, so you know.
That was some of the most fantastic Latin dancing I ever saw. I never got up enough nerve to get out on that floor. the corso was a little bit later. I was a little more confident then.
Yeah.
I went out there. The Palladium, man, you just didn't see the end of it. But
it did
end.
I used to go with my cousin, you know, and loved it, you know, and really developed quite a taste for Latin music and, you know, the mambo and the cha-cha and the merengue, and taught it for a long period of time with my dance studio, but I always loved it. In fact, you know, it was really an honor. If you were standing, the girls would stand on the sidelines, you know, while, you know, the dances, there was one, I don't know, Killer Joe or somebody, used to, you know, grab a girl and dance. And you felt so lucky if he grabbed you, because that means that you knew you were a good dancer and you had a ride.
Mm-hmm. And we know that he came and grabbed you, Kay.
And what?
We know he came over and grabbed you to dance because you could dance.
No, he didn't until later on. He grabbed my cousin Nia first.
Okay.
He got to dance a lot, you know. Seven.
Kay's always been able to cut a rug.
Yep.
Cut a rug. What is that now?
You know that term. Yeah, I know. Right, but how about that all of a sudden? Yeah. In fact, the last time, Kay, do you remember the last time you and I did the mambo? Gina's wedding. Where was that?
Was that at the Robert? No, it was the Military Bar. Yeah, the reception. Are
you
talking about the reception?
But no, which one are you? Let's see. I know it was at your
was
one of your daughters.
It was Christie's. Yeah, we had
Christie's,
a lot of black.
Okay. Yeah. And you and I, we were the only ones out there crazy enough to get out on the floor.
Well, look, I have a better story than that. Last year, you know, the New Jersey Performing, in front of the New Jersey Performing Arts Center, after the New Jersey Symphony had performed inside, they also continued with the concert out in front of New Jersey Performing Arts Center. And they had different people singing, and they also involved the communities in the churches. And, of course, Dr. Bill Howard was there, and his choir was there. After that, they would also have other music. I mean, you know, some of the younger symphonic players, those guys are really, you know, they're really on it. You know, they put a different slant on some of the, the classical music. But anyway, Luisito Ayala, you know, was playing Latin music, and I was so excited about it. And now this was just last year. Gus was sitting there with Phil, and I jumped up and wanted to dance anyway and see somebody dance with. And I asked Bill, go get Isabella because I need a dance partner. And we were dancing, and Luisito jumped off the stage and up to a mumbo cha cha, et cetera. The next morning, I could not move.
It'll do that. It'll do that to you.
But anyway, you two, we have just a very short period of time, you know, left.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to mention, too, you know, talking about dancing and whatnot, you know, I have about 3 minutes left. But talking about dancing, you know, I really have to mention this because I used to watch this show along with Soul Train and a number of other things, you know. But Dick Clark died today.
Oh, he passed away. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
I heard that.
That's something. Yeah.
It's something.
Well, he was, you know, that show he did was quite an advancement.
Yeah, it was.
That led up to Soul Train.
That's right.
Yeah, in one way, but we always had dances that they couldn't do.
That's right. And Don Cornelius led the way in that, and you know, we did the dances. You know, it was something if you came down, you know, the center, and you were able to dance. Of course,
right. You know, and it's funny how I used to watch them dance on Soul Train, and I said, boy.
Okay.
They dance, man! All that wild dancing, and then you know that's part of the thing now. You know,
gentlemen, listen. Would you believe that we're out of time? Rick G's Jazz Jam, everybody. Rick G is calling in from where? Say it again, please, real fast, Rick.
Paradise, St. Petersburg, Florida.
And Junius Williams is calling in from the other Paradise,
New Jersey. We just had an election victory yesterday.
Listen, thank you both so much. It has been a lot of fun to reminisce and talk about music. I'm telling you, one of these days I'm going to do a jazz show, then I can lower the voice and get so sexy on the air, you know. But Jack is listening in. He's feeling a whole lot better. Saw him last
night. Well, I'm glad.
And I expect him to be here. I said, look, you got to go to work now. You have to, you know, I need your voice. So we expect him to be back here in a few weeks. So thank you.
Great.
Thank you, Junius. Yeah. Thanks, Rick, you know.
And Junius, I'm going to give you a call.
Good to talk to you, Rick. I hope you
do. Okay. I'm going to give you a call, and you know, and we'll continue this conversation.
All righty.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Kay.
Hope a lot. Let's do it again, okay?
Get well, Gus. Get well.
Okay.
Yeah. Hey, Gus, get up now. Let me hear from you. Hey, Kay, I love you.
Love you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Listen,
Kay Thompson, and this is the Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio, and we are live tonight from 8 until 9 p.m. Join us again next time for Kay and Gus Show here on Blog Talk Radio. And we're over, and we...